Hi, everyone. This is Drew. Hey, we've been providing authentic, in-depth interviews about spiritual stuff for over 15 years now. But there's a change a-coming. Now, if you've already heard this message, just skip ahead to the interview. But if it's the first time, will you do me a solid and hang with me for just a few minutes? You know, about 15 years ago when I moved back to Canada after being a pastor in Australia, I realized that there was no way in the world that I should be in any form of spiritual leadership for so many reasons. But I think the main reason was because I've always struggled with belief. Now look, I'm still incredibly curious about what gets people through the night, and more often than not, it ends up being someone's faith or spiritual beliefs. So I created a radio show that set out to interview cultural icons and religious leaders, celebrities, and, you know, everyday people about what they believe, but more importantly, why they believe. And along the way, my faith has gone from simply being a noun to a verb. And I've also discovered that doubt is actually more compatible with faith than certainty. In other words, I no longer feel guilty about my doubts. So thanks for tuning in as I interview all sorts of people about all sorts of faith. I hope their journeys, no matter what they believe, have had a profound impact on your journey, and that your faith has also become a verb. Because, in my opinion, being spiritually neutral, that's an oxymoron. By the way, thanks to Joy Radio for letting me broadcast all of this spiritual tension, because I think this tension is where real faith is cultivated, in between hope and doubt. Together, Joy Radio and my team have created Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. Okay, that's all the kumbaya stuff. Now here's the ask. And I know, I'm the same. I'm rolling my eyes as well. It's kind of like when Wikipedia puts up that note asking for money every once in a while, or when your local publicly supported radio or TV station does one of those annoying fundraising campaigns. I completely ignore them as well. I guess my thinking is that an organization like Wikipedia probably makes enough money anyway. Or, worst case scenario, they'll find enough people to support them. But please, if you're a regular listener of the Drew Marshall Show, man, I kind of really need your help. The station I've been broadcasting on for over 15 years has never actually paid me to do the show. Instead, they've let me try to sell advertising. But that's been a little more of a challenge than I imagined, because religious advertisers sometimes feel that my show isn't religious enough, and quote-unquote normal advertisers sometimes feel like we're too religious. So it's been a long, crazy uphill battle over the last 15 years just trying to make a living in that tension. Trust me, I'm struggling to pay the bills just like you are. But as we start season 16 in September, we just found out something huge. Joy Radio will now be charging me for airtime. Now, surprisingly, this is standard practice for a lot of radio shows, especially on faith-based radio stations. But the bottom line is that there will now be an astounding 30% hike in costs for me. Ugh. Airtime's not cheap, and to be honest, finding even more advertisers to cover that 30%, it's kind of freaking me out a little bit. So, maybe you've been downloading our podcast and don't actually have to listen to the advertising that our radio audience listens to during each live four-hour show. And by the way, just so you know, any advertising we've actually been able to find has only ever covered about 70% of our annual costs. So the ask is this: would you consider going from being just a consumer of our show to becoming a patron? Would you mind throwing us a few bucks each month just to help us cover that 30% difference? Heck, you know what? If we can get enough patrons supporting the Drew Marshall Show, we could feasibly get to the point where we become completely listener-supported without the need of any advertising. Now that would be amazing. So, a patron. What? What is that? Well, a patron was the kind of person who allowed Shakespeare to create a product that also spoke of similar life tensions. Tensions that most people were living, but few were admitting to each other. A patron is someone who appreciates the product they're consuming so much that they're willing to throw a few bucks towards securing a future for that product. Now, just FYI, there are over 100,000 creators being supported by patrons through Patreon right now. So this is becoming the new way to say thank you to those who create the products we all consume online. Now, I fully understand the fact that I'm certainly no Shakespeare. I get that. But someone said to me recently that they would absolutely support our show monthly. Methinks there might be others. Yea, but maybe not. Let's findeth outeth. Yeah, I should never do that again. So here's the ask. Will you support the Drew Marshall Show $4 or $9 or $19 a month? By the way, that's American coin, so sorry to everyone listening from parts of the world whose currency is kind of struggling against the US dollar. But here's the other thing. If you cannot afford it, Please, obviously, no worries. When I used to be a pastor, I would say, hey, when the offering plate goes around, if you can give, give. If you need some, take some. So just take our show for free, guilt-free, if you can't afford $4 a month. Please. Because the conversations we're having in the Drew Marshall Show, I honestly feel need to be heard no matter what. Look, my dream is to have the most brutally authentic spiritual talk show in the world. And here's why that's important to me. Because I really believe that a key ingredient to spiritual growth is authenticity. And the tension of a brutally authentic spiritual talk show makes some people feel uncomfortable. But as far as I'm concerned, faith is messy and it can be brutal. But instead of looking the other way, our show dares to stare back into this beautiful mess called faith. So thanks for your support as we continue to live in the tension between belief and doubt, and while trying not to take ourselves too seriously along the way. Hopefully you'll laugh, sometimes you'll cringe, but no matter what, please know that what I care about most is brutally authentic spirituality. Now, go drink the Kool-Aid, will ya?
Cult reference.
And become a patron of The Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for listening. Begin
to make it. Well, some of you might be wondering why we're playing that song. Which I just asked Tim. Because Tim, sometimes the song, Tim's pretty good at picking songs that have to do with the guests. This song has nothing to do with guests. This song has to do with...
The year that I was born.
The year that Tim was born. This song came out in 1968. And of course, Tim turns 50 years old tomorrow. Da, 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 da. Speaking of this song.
Yep.
Paul McCartney and James Corden.
Yes.
What's that? Karaoke carpool?
Car karaoke.
Car karaoke?
No.
Karaoke carpool.
Carpool karaoke.
Oh, jeez. None of us are right? Anyway, that thing where the guys in the car
going,
with the...
This one.
When he was there with Paul McCartney, that was all-time amazing. Yeah. All-time the most amazing. All the time.
I was thinking about that. You know, he's had a lot of guests, you know, singing in the car with him. And I think Paul McCartney, I mean, I'm sure if John Lennon was still around, but he has got to be probably the best-known musician, modern musician of all time because, oh... The two of them had just written such iconic music and songs, and you just can't get much bigger and better than him specifically right now.
Yeah, I agree. I concur.
Well, you know, it is my birthday, so.
It's all about Tim today.
Yes.
Happy
Woo-hoo!
Birthday, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Last hour of the show, we're going to take your phone calls of encouragement for Tim the Tool.
I'm going to roll over this dog. I know it.
Well, don't roll over
Well,
him.
I can't move now.
Well, can you put him in the corner?
Tucker, you keep moving closer to Alex.
Tucker the Wonder... Well, stop it, Tucker. Tucker the Wonder Dog is here in studio. All right, we're on to our next segment on the show. During the month of July, I have been visiting different places of worship and exploring various religious tribes. The segment is called, How Does Your Tribe Worship?
Mm-hmm.
July 7th, I reported on my visit to a Pentecostal Happy Clappy Church called Kennedy Road Tabernacle.
You went to one of their satellite campuses, right?
I went to their middle service, okay. Sort of hipster.
Not the Purple Palace.
No, not the Purple Palace. Is the carpet still purple there?
I have no idea.
July 14th, last week, I talked about my experience visiting a Muslim mosque in Brampton. This week on the show, I'm going to be talking about my experience visiting a Hindu temple. And joining us for that conversation is Dr. Dubey. Dr. Dubey is the chairman of the board and religious advisor, and he's on the line with us right now. Dr. Dubey, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you. Your Hindu temple. Wow, good start to the interview.
Great.
Your Hindu temple on Yonge Street in Richmond Hill has been there for many, many years. How long has it been there for?
Oh, about 40 years.
40?
Wow.
It's incredible.
It has been evolving.
Yeah.
After every decade, it gets a little bit bigger, and also additions of a Hindu museum and a school and a seniors home, etc., etc. So it has metamorphosed, so to speak.
Yes, it has. Well, okay, so listen, I my father lives just around the corner, so I went to visit my dad and had a little dinner and then drove just down Yonge Street and turned into the parking lot. And, wow, first thing that I saw, what do you think is the first thing that I saw when I pulled into the parking lot, Dr. Dubey?
Either the Gandhi statue?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, first of all, forgive my ignorance, but that was a statue of Gandhi? The giant, huge, tall one?
Oh, no, that's Hanuman.
That's what I thought, but...
No. Gandhi is about 18 feet older. This one is about 51 feet.
He's the monkey god, isn't he?
The monkey god, correct.
Okay. So how tall is he?
51 feet.
51 feet.
Wow.
Is the tallest in North America.
Now, your accent is so interesting. You actually sound like you're from one of the islands in the West Indies. Where are you from?
I was born in Guyana.
Okay.
Educated in Jamaica.
Do you see?
There you go.
England and Canada.
Wow. So he's from everywhere.
I lived for 12 years in Jamaica.
In what part of Jamaica?
University of the West Indies, in a place called Mona.
Okay.
Not far from Kingston.
Okay. All right. I knew I heard a little something there. Okay, so obviously I drive into the parking lot, I see the big statue, and I think, wow, that's amazing. Take a couple of pictures, walk in the door, and I look around, because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know if I'm going in the right door, so I'm just following other people. And next thing you know, people are going into this small room, so I follow them into the small room, and I thought that was where church was going to be, so to speak.
Right.
Next thing you know, it's a very small room, and people aren't doing church. You know what they're doing? They're taking their shoes off.
Shoes off.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I took my shoes off. I looked down at my feet, was praying that my feet were clean. But then as you walk around, just even the small areas, the foyer and that sort of thing, I saw different statues. And I don't know, is that a disrespectful word? You don't call them statues, do you?
It depends on what part of the temple you're talking about.
Well, just down as you walk in the... first of all, you walk in the very front door and
boom. Before you enter the temple proper,
yes.
You see a series of statues, yes.
Okay. So the difference between the statues down before you get into the temple, yes. The figures that are in the temple, yes. The difference is what?
The difference is the ones outside are statues not for veneration, but the one inside are for veneration or for worship.
Right, right. Okay. So do you call them statues too? The one inside?
For want of a better word, they call them statues for you non-Hindus. That's the only thing you understand.
For you non-Hindus. For you NHs.
But I'll have to explain what a statue is inside and et cetera.
Sure,
because
sure.
Hindus are called idol worshippers because of people who misunderstand what Hinduism is, and it'll take a whole year to explain all that, but you ask me the question, and I will answer
okay.
Accordingly.
First of all, just before I was to go into the temple, I stopped and read a typed, written sign that was on the front. It was a printed out on, stuck on one of the doors, and basically it said, don't wear shorts. And I looked down, and I had shorts on.
Don't.
And I thought, I'm going to get in trouble. I haven't even started my visit, and I'm going to get into trouble here. So I asked someone, I said, you know, it says that we shouldn't have shorts. Should I leave? And the gentleman said, well, are you going up onto the stage? And I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, that's fine, and you can stay. Can you explain that to me, please?
Would you go into the Notre Dame Cathedral with your shorts on?
Yes, I would, yeah.
You would,
You
Christians are becoming pagans now.
That's right.
You don't like to dress properly. I think when you go to a temple or a church or wherever you go to, you must be properly dressed.
Right.
It shows a lack of respect.
Okay.
When you walk into a place, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
And many other temples also are like that. Even mosques are like that. I don't know about synagogues, but... But when I went to a few synagogues, and every time I go there, everyone has their suit and tie and everything else on.
Yeah.
And I think that if we don't start with the shorts, then what we'll see will happen. Women will come in with short shorts. And that becomes very ostentatious.
Yes.
And it what the temple represented, it defeats all its purposes. So if we don't stop at shorts, we will get into shorts.
Right, yes.
You know what I mean?
And then you're worshiping something totally different.
Yes. No, then it becomes, the worshiper will want to worship, instead of worshiping God, you might want to worship the flesh.
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, all right.
A little cheeky.
So should the gentleman I spoke to, should he have let me in, or should he said go away?
Yeah, no, he can let you in. You're a white guy. Probably don't know about it.
He felt sorry for me. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the next thing I noticed, and by the way, I want to
explain to you the statues before you go, because these statues are not in any institution, in any spiritual institution in the world.
But hold on. I have a whole section later on the statues, so we'll get to that in just a bit.
Okay.
So I walk into this building, and by the way, what the Muslims and the Hindus have in common is beautiful, very nice and soft carpet, because you're not using chairs. There's
or
some
shoes.
chairs on your shoes. There's chairs around the outside, left and right for maybe older people or people like me that don't like to sit on the floor.
The reason why the carpet is soft because the Hindus are rich.
Okay, all right, I like it.
Is the interview going well so far?
It's going well. It's going quite well. Yeah. No, I like this. This is good. Keeping it real. So, and then there's the stage up front, and there's the difference, as we talked about statues before, but we'll get into that in a second. And then there was some chanting and some bell ringing and that sort of thing. But the very first thing I noticed was people were bringing in bananas.
Correct.
And then I saw people bringing bags of milk.
Right.
And cartons of milk. And then I saw a line form. And they started pouring the milk on top of a rock.
Yes.
And then they would go back to the end of the line and do it all over again.
When they go back, they pour different articles. Instead of milk, they were pouring honey or some different article, not milk again.
Right. So there was milk. Was there milk and honey and juice? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I finally got all that figured out. So let's start with the first statue that I saw, which was, of course, the main one that was there that day, because I believe this was a certain service dedicated to one of the gods.
Lord Shiva.
Shiva. And so I want to talk about the rock that people were pouring stuff on. What was that rock?
That's the rock of faith. That is, when in the thousands of years ago, Hindus never had any form of idols or statues, because they were supposed to have been very, what they call, pure or sattvic, and they could invoke or meditate on God on their own. But as they become sensuous and became more worldly, they needed something to focus upon. So the first thing that was given to them was this rock, as you said. It's called lingam. And it has no face, no mouth, as you said, a rock. It has no features at all whatsoever. So this was the first type of focus that was given to them. But if you look at this rock, it's not a rock as such. It is many people call it a phallic symbol. It represents reproduction and represents life. If you look at this rock, it sits on the cross section of a uterus. If you know what a uterus is, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So it's
I've
it's
heard
a
of
cross
them.
Section. Cross section is you don't have one. It's a cross section of the uterus, and the rock sits upon it. And it is telling you that, look, I am all energy, I am all life, I am the representative of life. No human form whatsoever. As people became much more materialistic, then these forms come that you see upon the stage, the goddess, the Itam goddess, Durga and Vishnu, etc., and Shiva, etc. So the rock represents the first ever form that was given to Hindus to worship. It represents, lingam means a mark, like a dot.
Right.
You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it is, and instead of being a, you see, Hindus worship what is known as the Brahman, which is, has no form, no face, no nothing. But they are not spiritually elevated enough to do that. So they need the great saints and sages of the past. Said that they need something to focus upon, and this is a focus.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So focus point. Now, when I was in the mosque, there was no focus point. In the Hindu temple, there were numerous focus points or focal points, including this one rock during this service. But we're going to talk about the other statues that were around. Now, the first time I ever saw these statues, Dr. Dubey, was when I went to the Hare Krishna temple in Toronto. And they opened up the gates or these doors, and these beautiful statues were sort of, and the only way I can describe them for our listeners is if you've ever gone on the It's a Small World After All ride at Disneyland or Disney World, they're sort of like a large, very large porcelain dolls. So not little porcelain dolls like a child might have, but they're larger. Maybe not life size, but they're bigger.
They only have the idols of Krishna, whereas we have all the gods. We have Krishna. Hare Krishna, they're not Hindus.
No.
They will tell, if you ask them, are you a Hindu? They'll say, no, I'm a Hare Krishna.
Right.
So that's where the, you know, division of the sects of Hinduism come about. We are a pure Hindu temple. We are not a cult. We are not a sect. We are not a, we are just a pure Vedic form of Hinduism.
Right.
Which we can explain, as I explained to you about the rock. And then the other forms, they are put there with prayers, put down there with prayers, etc.
Yes.
And every day, devotion is done to them to keep the energy within the idols that you talk about, that you see. And people go to lots of their own passion, their own prayers,
yes,
their own desires, and they sort of talk to God.
Okay. Now, what I just realized is, I'm looking at the clock, realizing we only have 9 minutes left, because it's only 20-25 minutes, is that... look, there's lots of things out there that people can Google. They can go online and they can type in and about the different Hindu gods, etc. So we don't have time to explain the entire Hindu faith and all of the gods. But I do want to.
I want to explain one quick thing to you.
Please, yes.
Hinduism differs from the Semitic religion in this basic fundamental way. The Semitic religions believe that God made the light one day. He made the sun one day, he made a water one day, he made this one day, he made, right?
Right.
Yep, that's Semitic religion. The Hindus believe that everything comes out of God, like how the web comes out of the spider, everything comes out of him. So that everything that you see represents God. Every human being represents God, although with today's world you would not believe that. And if you go to a Hindu temple, you see a tiger, you see an animal, you see trees, you see all. Because you know what? Hindus believe that God exists in each and every one of this, as opposed to the Semitic religions. Carry on.
Okay, thank you for that. That was quite helpful. So I'm watching everything happening, and I'm you hear some chants, some mantras, some bells,
and then I
waited for the band to kick in because I saw a band. There was a lady sitting on the floor with the keyboard, and there was a young kid on the drums.
Tabla.
What are they called?
Tabla.
Tabla. Yeah. And I thought, ooh, that's a good job for a kid, because instead of, sitting there in the whole service, he can play drums like I used to do when I was sitting in church. I would just do that by myself and irritate people around me. So no chairs, the juice, the milk, and the honey, and then the songbook came out, and they had Tim, instead of
like
the hymnals.
Hymnal. Yeah.
No, not a hymnal, like the chorus books.
Oh,
they were
okay.
Photocopied,
yeah, yep.
And you could read them, and I thought that was quite good, and you could read the lyrics
in English?
Both English,
English. Yes.
There was another language on the sheets, too.
Sanskrit.
Okay, Sanskrit.
Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not proficient in that
no.
at all. And they repeat. You can repeat them a fair bit.
Right.
Right. And here's what I noticed. There were some people that smiled and said hello to me, and one gentleman sat down and sat beside me, and we talked a little bit, and it was very, very friendly. I enjoyed that. And then later he went to the back of the church, or the sorry, back of the temple, and he sat in a chair and had a little nap. So that was good. It was my kind of guy. Hey, I like that. But then everyone left at one point in time, and they went down one side of the front, or the other side of the front. They went to like some wings. So everybody left the temple and went down the side wings. Where did they go? Because I didn't go. I didn't want to feel weird.
They went to another god called Balaji, and they went there to do some adoration to him, and then they came back.
Okay. How many gods would be represented in the temple by those statues? How many?
Okay, let me tell you how many gods we have. We have 33 million gods. You got it?
Oh, yeah.
Have I shocked you yet?
A little bit.
33 million.
So this is, hold on, I have to bring this, I have to say this
so
point.
In the temple, we only have about nine.
About nine, well,
so
thank you.
We're just scratching the surface. How about that?
Wow. I like it. So listen, this is where it bugs me when people say, oh, all religions are the same, they all believe the same, it's all kind of the same.
Oh.
Well, one religion says there actually is no God. Right?
Yep.
If you went into Buddhism deep enough, you could see that sort of thing.
One religion says there are 33 million gods.
That would be the Hindus. One religion says there are three in one. That would be the Christians. Right? So, come on. They're very different. Very different.
They're not different because you don't understand the religions. Hindus believe in God only. We don't even believe in one God. We believe in God only. By saying one, we quantify God. We believe in God only. These are only the stages to get to that invisible God, the God that the Jews call that has no name, no form, or the Muslims, is the same God. We believe the God that has absolutely no name, no form, is called Brahman. And to get to that Brahman, you have to elevate yourself. You have to read about spirituality from India, then you'll understand this a little bit.
Yes.
You have to elevate yourself from the lower animalistic state that we are in, to graduate yourself up, and maybe as we as Hindus believe in reincarnation, you might not have it to get it in this life. You will get back in the next life or the other life, but one day you'll get there. But you have to progress.
By the way, Dr. Dubey is on the line here, and he is the chairman of the board and religious advisor. And at the now, is it the Vishnu Mandir Temple? Is that how we say it?
Correct, Vishnu Mandir. Correct.
Okay, and. I don't know if you remember the service, the Shiva service. Do you remember an awkward, strange-looking, white, bald man sitting on a chair?
In shorts?
Yes.
I had shorts on. Do you remember some stranger?
No, I was not there when you came.
Yes, you were.
I was there?
I thought you were there. Or maybe it wasn't you. Actually, it doesn't even say... No, you're right, because as you're talking now, as you're...
I was in Guyana where I have a dialysis clinic going for poor people.
Okay, so it wasn't you. Because who was the spiritual leader that was sitting in the throne giving a speech?
My assistant.
Your assistant, okay. Because he walked by me. I thought it was you. But as you're talking to me, I realized, no. This is a different cat. He walked by me, and I was hoping he'd look at me, eh? Because you want to be looked at. It's like people walking around with Jesus. They say, well, look my way.
Let me touch your robe.
He didn't look at me.
Oh,
no, he focused on other things.
He was focused on other things. That's cool.
Yeah, he would be focusing.
Now all the food was brought to the table at the front. People brought food, and then they brought the food up to the gods, I guess, and they put them at the feet of the gods.
Right.
But then where does the food go? Because I saw some pretty big fellas moving the cart around with the food. Where does all that food go?
They go downstairs and they share it out amongst people.
Okay.
Everybody take a little bit. That's not the food. That's called prashad. That's called offerings. The food is downstairs. I don't know if you go. I went downstairs
and I had some rice stuff with some really hot peppers in it that made me sneeze and cry.
Good.
And I had a beautiful conversation with a gentleman.
That's when you transgress from one culture to a different culture. You must get a taste of it.
Yeah, you got to get into it, man.
Yeah.
And then at the very end of the service, the spiritual leader walked through with some water. Like a water gun, and started spraying everybody. No, he didn't have a water gun, but he was baptizing or sprinkling people with the water.
Sprinkling the water, sprinkling like the holy water on everybody.
Yeah,
and many people love the little. They feel it when the water comes upon their head; they get blessed.
That's what it feels like. That's where I felt like I was included. Like, because if they missed me, I would feel like an outsider.
Oh.
But I got a little water. I got a little something.
Good.
Well, listen, I, with your permission, I would love to talk with you again and maybe even come down and visit and come to another service. Would you mind?
Not at all. We should come on a Sunday if it's possible from 10:30 to 12, and then you'll get a good taste of what goes on.
Well, I was going to come to the 10:31, but then I heard about the Shiva service, and I knew Shiva. I knew a little bit about Shiva because I have some yoga friends that are really into Shiva. Because Shiva is like the god that kind of wrecks your life, comes in and just kind of wrecks your life so that you will learn the lesson you need to learn. Did I get that right?
He's called a destroyer, so to speak, but he doesn't wreck your life. He's a very good guy.
He's a good guy?
He's a good guy.
Who is the most...
You didn't talk about the statues in front before you go in. You saw of Mandela and Buddha and Jesus. You saw the Jesus idol that we had outside?
Yeah, sure, go for it.
The Wall of Peace? You saw the Wall of
Yes,
Peace?
Yes, I did. Tell our listeners about that.
But this is the only institution, like a temple institution in the whole world that has other gods in. Can you imagine bringing a Krishna statue in a Catholic church?
Amazing.
Probably not.
Can you bring that? You can't do that. You agree? Or any other religion like Judaism or Islam? No place will tolerate another religious icon. Here we have all the religious icons. You know why? Because Hinduism believes in what is known as Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The world is one family. God exists in each man. God exists in each individual, in each animal, in each plant, in each tree. That's why we are eco-sensitive. And this is the reason this came out after 9/11. We decided we want to show people that if you are a Christian, be a good Christian. If you are a Muslim, be a good Muslim. If you are a Hindu, be a good Hindu. All of us, we, at the end, we go to the final place of, you know where. All of us.
I like this guy. You know, I knew Dr. Dubé would be a good guest as soon as he said, "How's the interview going so far?" He said that at the beginning. You are fun to chat with.
I have my own television show, sir, for many years.
Oh, he's a bit of a hot dog.
It's called Voice of Hinduism. It is aired on CTS channel.
Yes.
They used to give us a spot at 9:30 p.m. on Saturdays. But since a lot of Christians became interested in the service, they cut us off and put us at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
I've had my own experience with that network.
So I'm saying it as it is, which is true.
Yeah.
And then one day the Pope went to India to convert the Indians, and I said that I said ridiculous. Hindus don't convert anybody. Why you want to convert us? So they said, you know what? You should not come. You should get a Sunday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. So good.
Dr. Dubé, you and I are going to meet. You and I are going to talk. Okay.
I hope I gave you a little lift for the afternoon.
It was great. It was so good. Thank you so, so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. Dubé.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the guy that was sitting in the throne that we were talking to.
Okay.
And I knew him as kind of chilled and laid back and kind of has a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's, he's got a bit of a
twinkle in his eyes,
yes,
so
he does. A little, I don't know
Even
why
though we can't see him, but.